Monster Man, episode 235, Pseudo Undead and Pudding, comma Deadly. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the P&Q chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And perhaps in a seasonally appropriate way, we're going to take a look at a pudding. Never been a big Christmas pudding guy, or Christmas cake for that matter, but it's traditional. And this episode should be going up on the 24th. So whether you're celebrating Christmas or not, whether you're spending it with family or doing something else, whatever and however you celebrate, I hope that this holiday season finds you and the people that you care about well. I'm going to keep putting up episodes throughout the holiday season. How else am I going to finish the holiday boss rush? And I'm looking forward to making more Monster Man for you and hearing from more of you in the new year. Now, I wish that I had a better gift for you than the pseudo-undead, because this is not, I've complained in the past about gacha monsters. The pseudo-undead are not a gacha monster, they're an entire category of gacha monsters. What they are is basically mortal material beings that happen to look like undead. It says that they prosper due to their physical similarity to certain undead monsters. So I guess the idea is that this is something that, like, deters threats. So if you were a bandit and you were going to rob some people, but you happened to look a bit like a vampire, then they might assume that you were tougher than you were and not fight back, just give you their money. Now, that sort of makes sense. I don't know what advantage there is in looking like a zombie or a ghoul. People will be frightened of ghouls, but do you want people to run away from you? I don't know. Pseudo-ghasts smell as bad as ghasts. The weirdest thing of the lot is like the pseudo-specters, because specters are like ethereal beings. But a pseudo-specter isn't. It's a material creature that just runs along the ground so lightly that it leaves tracks that are very hard to spot, so you might imagine that it was floating. Are we supposed to believe that this is some kind of creature that has evolved to look ethereal, a bit like an ant might evolve to look like a spider to deter predators? Or are we supposed to think that it's, you know, it's a person in a sheet? I don't know. I really don't. I don't know what the pseudo-undead are supposed to be. I don't know what the, like, explanation for it is. I don't know how something would look like a pseudo-skeleton. I just don't know. I know why they're here, though. These are gacha monsters, and their role is to trick players and keep things unpredictable. So you see something that looks like a white, and you think, we'd better get ready for all the different abilities that a white has. Or you see something that looks like a vampire, and you think, okay, sunlight, holy water, crosses, garlic, turn undead, etc., etc. But of course, none of them work, because this creature isn't really undead. So the purpose of it is, I suppose, to kind of keep you guessing, and maybe use up some of your undead fighting resources like holy water or wooden stakes or whatever. I'm finding myself almost having a good time trying to figure out where these pseudo-undead come from. So the pseudo-vampire to me seems like the easiest one. It seems here that the pseudo-vampire is like a species of monster. It just happens to look like a vampire, but it doesn't have the connection to the negative plane that a vampire has. You know, some of them are so weak in their sort of pseudo-vampire blood that they're basically just humans who happen to look a bit vampiric. So I can get this. You can certainly imagine some dilution of vampire blood creating weaker and weaker vampires until they didn't really have any of the vampire's undead nature. They were just red-eyed freaks who liked drinking blood. And you can certainly see that a human who liked to drink blood and had a sort of pasty, ghoulish appearance might be understood as a vampire, even if he wasn't in the literal sense a capital V vampire. I mean, I guess he would be a vampire in the sense that he drank blood, but you know what I mean. He wouldn't be a vampire in the Monster Manual sense. And I guess if you are a wretch who lives in the cemetery and eats corpses and has sort of, you know, lives as an outcast on the fringe of society, and maybe you're mad in a way that's actually kind of insensitive to people who have real-world mental health issues, but that's another question. I guess that's a pseudo-ghoul, but it's also a ghoul, isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind of what a ghoul is? So I feel like these guys kind of raise more questions than they answer, and they're one of those things where they're a response to the idea that players are getting jaded, they're getting used to undead monsters, they're not shocked or surprised by them anymore, so you want to kind of keep them guessing, keep them on their toes. But in this instance, I feel like the cure is worse than the disease, because they don't add anything new. They're just like the existing monster that you already have, but kind of not as good. Do they just, like, prey on the superstitions of the villagers? Is that the idea? You know, are you supposed to go into the bar and the innkeeper's like, "Or nobody goes up to that there old castle, it's haunted." And then you go up there and it's actually just a pseudo-ghost? Just a filmy apparition that has shoes and runs around making ooh noises but not really having any powers? What's a pseudo-phantom? This is nothing. It's nothing. Now, it does suggest the idea that in a world where monsters are real, it would make sense for all kinds of criminals and ne'er-do-wells to try and disguise themselves or cover up their activities as being the result of monsters. You can certainly see humans wearing, like, animal skins to try and persuade credulous villagers that they're bugbears, because bugbears are much more intimidating than people. You can sort of see that. So, the pseudo-undead do inspire a fun idea, but they themselves are not all that fun of an idea. Next, we got the Pudding, Deadly. First off, this is a great name. This is a top 10 monster name. I like them. What they actually are is just kind of variants on the black pudding, right? They're just puddings of other types that inhabit different biomes and damage things differently. So, for example, the brown pudding, deadly, harms leather and wood, but has no effect on metal. The dun pudding, deadly, does eat metal, but it eats it more slowly, and it eats leather but not wood. And then you got the white pudding, which is your cold weather pudding, and it damages all biological material, and in fact does a lot of damage to flesh. So they're just variations on an existing theme, and that's fine. There are already so many different oozes and blobs and slimes and gels and puddings and what have you in this game that a couple more with slightly different abilities, slightly different stats, and slightly different habitats are just more puddings in your paint box, and that's terrific. Now, again, we run into the problem that because of the way that they're released in all these different books, keeping track of which of the different types exist is kind of a nuisance, and what you really want is just one central thing for slimes, oozes, and puddings, and you can choose the ones that you want instead of having to look it up in three different hardbacks, but that's the nature of the format. And something that second edition would try to solve with the hole-punched binder things. What was that all about? Because there was a period when publishing companies loved putting stuff out in hole punch sheets that you could put in binders. So, for example, the second version of DC Comics Who's Who in the DC Universe was like that. The idea was that you would buy a special Who's Who binder. I never bought a special binder. I just used a regular one that I had for school or whatever. And then each issue of Who's Who would come out and you would, you know, put your sheets in the binder. And that way you could categorize them however you liked. So there were different categories of heroes, villains, supporting characters, places. Or you could just do them straight alphabetically, or, you know, you could do them however you felt. And it was a bit the same with the original monster books for AD&D 2nd, right? That they were those hole punch things. I imagine the holes just tore out pretty fast. That's certainly what happened to my Who's Who. It was more expensive. And I guess if they were perforated for use in American three-ring binders, they wouldn't work in British two-ring binders, which would be a whole different problem. I'm getting off topic here. So the puddings, deadly are fine. They're a bunch of variants on an existing monster. They're not super inspiring, but it's nice to have them, and they certainly don't hurt. They're there, I guess, just for a little bit of a variation. Like, they're a twist on an established theme, but they're not a gotcha monster. If you look at an Arctic pudding, you can easily... If you look at the white pudding, you can definitely tell that it's not the same thing as the black pudding, so you won't, like, get out your black pudding fighting techniques and learn that they're wrong. You can tell by looking at it that it's something different, and so you should be forewarned. So they're not a gotcha monster per se, although I do think that we can think of them as, you know, a variation on an existing monster type, which is there to deal with the fact that players are jaded by this point. All right, well, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. Once again, happy holidays from all of us here at Monster Man, which is basically me and Allison and our dog Pepper. And we should have another special episode coming up this week about Baba Yaga, the evil witch from Russian folklore. Plus, we'll be continuing our journey through the P and Q section of Monster Manual 2 with the Pyrolisk and Quasi-Elemental Lightning next time on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Happy holidays, and thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.